Thou art the glory of Jerusalem. Thou art the joy of Israel. Thou art the honor of our people. Blessed art thou among women. Reverend fathers, dear sisters, and faithful, everybody's thinking about victory today. 70 years since VJ, Victory in Japan Day, the end at last of the Second World War. But God's thoughts, like his ways, are not ours. Think again about that other anniversary, about the clouds, I mean, of dust and debris raised by man's destructive forces. Godless selfishness. You know, war is man's real selfie. And brighter, too, than the rocket's red glare, or even the blinding brightness of the bomb that fell 70 years ago. We see the sign, we Catholics do, in the sky, a woman who is clothed with the sun. Not demons who have attempted to harness its power for death. And we remember this August Saturday, which calls us to church one day early, away from cleaning and shopping and the regular chores of the Saturday. We remember that God has hung this sign in the sky as a portent, a permanent pledge of victory. Not man's way, but Almighty God's way. How many battalions does the Pope have? Do you remember Stalin asked this when somebody brought up Pius XII during the war? Signor Stalin shall see my forces in the next world, the Holy Father replied. But really, he had, that dictator, only 5 years to wait to see him, the Vicar of Christ, marshal his armies to victory. For today is another anniversary. 65 years this year since the infallible proclamation of the dogma of the Assumption, that Our Blessed Lady, after the course of her earthly life was done, was assumed body and soul into heaven. But how is this, this church matter of victory? And really, why does it matter to mankind? We're busy this summer. We've got to follow the primary on Fox News, and then there's all of the war news from the Middle East and the nuclear and economic speculation, and well, there are the week's duties and getting back to school. Sometimes a story best tells the tale rather than seemingly dry doctrine and dates. The epistle I've just read to you from the Old Testament, Judith, Father Lectoranda, told this Bible story to the girls on the first day of their summer camp last month. Judith, one woman against the forces of a powerful and merciless invading army in the Middle East. There, that's as up to date as today's gruesome headline. But Judith has no bomb. She has no drones at her disposition. Oh, a sword comes to play in the story, but she never learned how to wield it. Fencing was not in her background. But trust in God and penance and prayer were. And she fasted on all of the vigils of the feasts and kept the feast days. And all of that supernatural force made her strong and resourceful. And finally, she was victorious. So, the Assyrians are invading, and the Jews have it coming. They're sunk in sin, especially idolatry, but immorality that goes for granted. But in Bethulia, in Judah's city, they repent. And they start some sort of a reform. But still, it's too late. The water is cut off. The city manager announces 5 days, and we will have no choice but to surrender. Surrender, Judith says, this virtuous, beautiful, wealthy widow woman goes down to City Hall to see about it. And then she rises into action. She reproaches the men for their want of trust. And then she lays off her sackcloth and black, for she was a widow and wore those weeds, and makes herself as beautiful as possible. She gets an appointment at the hairdresser and calls for the heirloom jewels to come out of the bank vault, and the perfume was to be found and opened up again. And then, of course, to say nothing of the war paint, a woman, if she sets her mind to it, can be indeed terrible as an army set in battle array. And sometimes I think they do not know their own power. Or do they? If so, that's on the Assyrians' side. But when she's ready, this vision of loveliness goes off with her maid bravely. She crosses the enemy lines. She enters the Assyrians' camp, and Holofernes, their general, is captivated by her beauty, and is very proud to have so fine a daughter of Judah to stand at his side and to sup with him that night at the great pre-victory banquet he was throwing for the upper brass. But Holofernes and his generals all drink too much. And they pass out. They're all fallen asleep. And Judith sees the sword of the general hung up on a tent pole. And just as bravely as she went in, she goes up to it. She tries its strength for just a moment, and chop! She cuts off the head of the enemy of God's people. Her maid had prudently come equipped with sort of a jumbo-sized purse, almost, I'm thinking, like one of those diaper bags that mothers might travel with. And without a thought, her maid picks up the head and plops it into the bag. They zip it up shut, and off they go, stealing through the sleeping camp in the middle of the night. And at dawn, she's back in Bethulia, and there she announces victory. The Jews at last discover their courage and raise the battle cry. The pagans stumble about in their stupor, awakened so rudely from sleep. But where's the general? to give the plan and the command. He is gone, and they are headless. They run away in panic, the pagans do, in confusion. And blessed art thou among women, the Jews salute Judith, as will one day say, great Gabriel himself, the archangel from heaven on bended knee, before the Virgin of Nazareth and Elizabeth at the visitation, will repeat those words. The same verse, you see, is in the Old as well as in the New Testament. And who could say that devotion to Our Lady is not scriptural? Blessed art thou among women, for he hath directed thee to the cutting off of the head of the prince of our enemies. Mary is the true and the new Judith, the true and the new Eve, who fulfills the promise made in the beginning at Genesis, right after original sin, ipsa conteret, the proto-gospel. Judith decapitates and Mary crushes. She shall crush the head of Satan, thus delivering her people, as always, sinful and quite undeserving, but still saved by their brother and God, the new Adam, Jesus Christ, and the new Eve, the Virgin Mary. The lesson is always the same in Genesis, in Judith, in Luke, in John, at Calvary, and 65 years ago, and 70 years ago, and August the 15th, 2015. There are those who rely on human power, and there are those who hope in God. Some, we pray in the 19th Psalm, some boast of chariots and some of horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. Oh, man must do his part. Look at Judith's resourcefulness. She used to such effect the things she had to hand. And see too how she is brave and imaginative above all. Ah, many a battle, God grant not also a soul, is lost for simple want of imagination. And she's bold and she's beautiful as she goes forth to battle. But it is God, always God, who gives the victory. Then as today, with Mary and through her in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the victory is given us and is assured. Tomorrow, Monday, you and I must resume the battle, figure out a new strategy, spit out the bitter taste of defeat from the mouth, and go forth bravely to meet the foe. But today, just today, let us rejoice and sing the hymn of victory of both Old and New Testament, of Judith and Gabriel and Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.